couldn't believe it.
Okay, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Let's have a word of prayer. Pray for Israel. Pray for... Anybody else have a prayer request?
I know. Pray for Wisconsin.
A couple things.
I'm sorry.
Al and his, he's dealing with his mother-in-law, right? And then his granddaughter had a little cyst in the back of her head.
Yeah.
And then she had surgery today, and it went well. So praise God for that. But you know, Fed is going through a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
The mother.
Yeah.
She's at her last. She's getting weaker every day. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for just another day, Lord. Thank you for this evening that we could come together to study your word. Lord, thank you so much for all your wonderful blessings that you pour upon us each day, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, we want to grow in our relationship with you, Lord. We want to grow in our faith. We want to know more of you, Lord. So please teach us this evening, Lord. And we lift up Al as he's with his mother-in-law, and knowing that only you know, Lord, when she would take her last breath. But she's there. He's there with the family. I pray for peace. And I pray that you would just be there in the midst of all this sorrow that they might be going through, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for Cody and his son, that Elijah will be having surgery tomorrow for his eye. We pray that the surgery goes well.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, we pray for Israel, for the peace of Israel, Lord, peace of Jerusalem.
Yes.
And we pray for all Christians around the world that might be suffering, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that today, Lord. So please be with them. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I want to start with a story that I was reading in... how many here ever read the magazine, The Voice of the Martyrs? You guys ever read any articles from that magazine, The Voice of the Martyrs?
Yeah, I get that. It's a
pretty magazine. So I was reading this this article, and it helped me to understand, it helped me to put myself into this context of these seven churches that are written here in the Book of Revelation.
Oh, right.
And in the article, it said that in China, there's close to 115 million Christians in China.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
A lot of
115 million.
Yeah, you would probably say, oh, they're probably all Catholic. No, they're Protestant.
They are Protestant.
And that's about 10% of the country.
What's that?
It is speculative, but that's...
Around that, I'm just throwing out that number.
And Israel, they say there's more than millions.
I'm talking about China.
No, converted to...
So in China...
Christianity.
About 115 million. That's just a number. And they're saying that there's more Christians in China than there is communists in China.
Mm. Mm.
So you're probably asking yourself, where are these Christians? Where are they in China? Were there in house churches?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
House churches. Because
we
know that if they come out and start preaching or doing whatever on the streets, they're going to get persecuted. So they're all in house churches. And here in Revelation, these are house churches that we see here in this map.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesus. What was the next one that we studied?
Smyrna? I don't know. No.
Where are we? Where's Ephesus?
Ephesus right down by Lydia, right under Lydia.
Right here.
Yeah.
Smyrna. Pergamum, Thyatira.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're going to be talking about Thyatira. Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. These are all house churches. 20 to 40 people in these house churches.
Mm. I guess that's how they first started, huh?
Yeah.
80-60 is when they quit killing people.
There are more than just these seven.
Oh, yeah, there is. But
many.
I'm just talking about the ones here. Yeah, there's many, but I'm just talking about the ones here in Revelation. But, So, the messages to the seven churches that we see here in Revelation encourages us and warns us. So, contextually, we could just see them in the Bible. We could see them, but we could also apply these verses to our lives, to the churches that we belong to.
Mm.
Or the churches that Christians belong to throughout the Christian world. So, and also I saw another article in Time Magazine. How many of you still read Time Magazine? Time Magazine. There was a pastor from China, and he was giving his testimony that he's been arrested many times because of him being a pastor in China. And he was arrested with 50 other pastors. And he spent, you know, some years in jail in these house churches, sanctioned house churches that that they have in China.
Sanctioned?
Yeah, that's what...
Governmental sanction?
There is a sanctioned church in China that the government chooses who the pastor is. Those are the official churches.
Yeah.
And they don't want you going to a house church.
Right. So they're controlled of the church, the government.
So I wrote a story in Time Magazine of a pastor in China, and 50 other pastors were arrested and sentenced for years in prison for holding non-state sanctioned house churches. So, and I like to think and make observations here. So the leader of China, what do they call him? They call him the president, the prime minister? What is he? Who is he?
Is he the president?
Xi Jinping.
He sees a threat that these house churches could do something in China. These house churches in Asia Minor, they turned the Roman Empire upside down. Mm-hmm. Right? So the way that these house churches are happening in China is the same way it happened here. Christianity spread and conquered the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. Just by these little house churches. 20 to 40 people in these churches. So I'm saying to myself, maybe this Chinese dictator has read about history of these Christians taking over. And he's threatened. Right? He knows the threat. And like I said, this is the same way Christianity spread throughout the Roman Empire. and ultimately turned the Roman Empire upside down. Now the seven churches John addressed are all house churches. And like I said, 20 to 40 people in each church. So in Revelation here in chapter 2, we see that these were written to seven literal churches. Around 80, 90, 96, around there in that area. In Asia Minor, which is modern day what? Anybody know?
Turkey,
right. Mm-hmm. Anybody here ever been to Turkey?
Only on Thanksgiving.
No, you eat turkey on Thanksgiving. Anybody ever been to Turkey? Where'd you just came from somewhere?
No, we haven't been to Turkey. But, I think Jose has been.
Isn't Noah's Ark supposedly in Turkey?
Right. Yeah, that's where they found it.
On Mount Ararat, they
found
said.
It in the year 1948, the same year that Israel became a
state.
Really? Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. The Bible says the mountains of Ararat, so it could be that it's a mountain ridge, you know, like on a peak. You know.
And that's, it was actually an earthquake in that mountain area that revealed it all.
There's a Christian archaeologist? That's how you name
him? Yeah.
He was on a quest to find... But he went to Turkey and he climbed Mount Ararat, but he couldn't go all the way because it was so cold up there.
Right,
you would die to go up there.
Yeah, it's not on Mount Ararat; it's in the range.
Right,
right.
And then the government there, they know something's up there. They they don't let
they're very controlling.
It's very controlling. Yeah,
they don't let tourists go up there and stuff.
Yeah,
right. So if we look at these churches, let's look at three churches. We talked about the church in Ephesus, right? Brother Al taught us about Ephesus. What was their problem? They lost what?
Their first love.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, how can we compare that church to the church throughout the world? Well, let me say it. The church in Europe is a church that lost its first love. If you go to Europe... Many of those churches has turned to mosques.
Yeah.
Europe was the where they sent missionaries were sent out from Europe. The first missionaries were sent out from Europe. And look at it now. you don't find anything good coming out of, well, I don't say anything, that's too strong. But it's not, you know, Christianity is barely known in Europe. Like I said, these churches have turned into mosques. Islam rules Europe, England especially. My wife went to England a couple months ago. She said she saw a lot of Muslim people there. Mm-hmm. A lot of mosques throughout the whole city of London. Mm-hmm. Barely she saw a church.
I heard they're not even letting people pray in public, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, really? What did you say, Bill?
I'm seeing more and more of them here as well.
Yeah.
And publicly so.
Yeah, go to Detroit.
Yeah,
we had a brother here that came to this church, and he was from Detroit. He said that there's a time of the day that this is the illustration. He went to go get gas at a gas station, and it was one of those.
It was because the mineral
Friday is a holy day,
right? But it was a time where they pray.
Right, so they called to prayer.
The gas station was shut down. Yeah. Sorry, and they were praying. Nobody could get gas until the prayer was over. And you can hear it through the...
What, the whole city?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're Muslim.
Oh.
Yeah.
But you hear it anyway because it's happening down the street.
Yeah.
From the rooftop. Mm.
The church in Smyrna, they were known as the persecuted church. You know, nothing but praise when you read about Smyrna in chapter 2, verse 8. Sort of represents the churches in China. Right? Many good things. 115 million, close to 115 million Christians in China. The majority of them are all Protestant Christians. More than communist. Also, we see in Iran, a lot of Christians in Iran. Mm-hmm. A lot of Christians in North Korea. And the Voice of the Martyrs says that 52 nations are estimated by the Voice of the Martyrs to be actively that are actively being persecuted Christians within them.
They started in Syria. When the terrorists took over, they killed over 1,000. Yeah.
The Laodicean church. Mm. We haven't talked about the church in Laodicea, but what are some of the characteristics of that church, if you guys remember?
Well,
if you ever read...
He was stoned in Laodicea. Paul was stoned.
But what were the characters of the church?
Lukewarm.
What's that?
Lukewarm.
Mm-hmm. Right. Rich, I think it says.
Yeah.
And lukewarm. Yeah. What does that church represent? The church where?
One right now? I don't know.
Here in America?
Here in America.
Yeah. So the church in Ephesus sort of represents the church in England,
yes.
Lost their first love.
Mm-hmm.
The church in Smyrna, the persecuted church, China, Iran, all these places where people are being persecuted because of their faith in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Laodicean church, Laodicea church, the lukewarm church that represents America here in the U.S. Now, as we go to the in our Bibles, go to chapter 2. We're going to be talking about the church of Thyatira. Verse 18. If you guys were here when we studied the book of Acts, there's a possibility, and I've seen this through a lot of scholars say this, mm-hmm. that the church in Thyatira was started by who? Does anybody know? Don't look at your notes. I don't think I wrote that in your notes.
Luke?
No.
Wouldn't it be Paul? These are all Paul's churches, aren't they?
Yeah. But who was the one that heard the message, brought it back
to... Oh, that's that guy.
No, it's not a guy.
Apollo? Oh, it's a woman? Yeah. It was one of those ladies who...
Everybody go to Acts
16. Timothy's mother-in-law or something?
Go to Acts 16. Verse 14 and 15. And I'm not saying this is just speculation here. I'm not saying this is...
Lydia.
Yeah, there you go.
Who was it?
Lydia.
Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia.
Look what it says.
Acts what?
Acts 16.
Weren't you related to Timothy? Lydia was his mother?
No, I think that was Eunice, right?
Okay, well...
Acts 16, verse 14 and 15. Acts 16, verses 14 and 15.
Lydia, yeah. Her
name. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. You know, heard the apostles. And she was a seller of purple from the city of?
Thyatira.
Mm-hmm. Purple fabrics. Mm-hmm.
Who worshiped God, and the Lord opened her what?
Right.
Her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. So a lot of people say that this church might have been started by Lydia. Lydia.
So she's saying come to her house in Thyatira.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Yeah. So in your notes, it says Thyatira was in the region of Lydia. Asia hailed emperors. Look, this is very interesting. In this part of Asia Minor here, in Asia Minor, the emperors were deities and they were considered saviors. And an emperor there was considered a son of God. Thyatira was a city with a large military detachment about 30 miles southeast of Pergamos. Right, we see it there on the map. About 30 miles southeast of Pergamos. Thyatira was recognized for its wool, its metalworking, and dye industries. The city was also noted for its trade.
Guilds.
Is it guilds or gouds?
Guilds.
Guilds. Bless you.
Trade guild.
Thank you. Anybody know what a trade guild is?
It's a union.
Yeah, an association, like a social club, I guess we could say that.
No, not social. It's economic.
Yeah.
You needed to be apprenticed
to
a guild.
The whole
deal.
Before you became a craftsman.
Right. So I'm going to guess, now I wrote it down in your notes, that these people, these Christians, were forced to work in these trade, is it guilds?
Guilds.
And if you did it, you know, that's your livelihood. That's your money maker. But we'll get to that when we get to that. Let's read starting in verse 18 all the way to 29.
Where are we at?
Chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 18. The church in Thyatira. The church in idolatry. Brother, what's up, man?
Brother.
To the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, "These things says the Son of God." Pretty interesting. In the when I wrote there in your introduction there, the emperor was known as the Son of God.
Wow.
But we know the true Son of God
is Jesus.
Jesus. And he says, "These things says the Son of God, Jesus. Jesus' eyes are like a flame of fire." Fire in the New Testament represents what? Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Purification.
Purification, right. "And his feet like fine brass. I know your works," Jesus says. "I know that you love." Cody's preaching on love on Sundays. He knows their service. He knows their faith. And he also knows their patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. A lot of good things, right, so far.
Yeah.
A lot of good, great things. Love. They serve. They got faith.
Mm-hmm.
They're patient.
Mm-hmm.
They're working hard. Serving. "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you." Uh-oh, here it comes. Mm-hmm. "You follow the woman Jezebel."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
"Who calls herself a prophetess." Now, there's a debate Is this woman an actual woman? Or is just or Jezebel is just a nickname that they give to people who are false prophets, right? Who teach and seduce Christians to commit sexual morality. And they also teach the Christians or the believers to eat things sacrificed to idols. Mm-hmm. Verse 21. And I, Jesus, gave her time to repent of her sexual morality, and she did not repent. How many here by show of hand thinks this is a literal person, Jezebel?
That there was a person that they...
Yeah, this is actually a woman called Jezebel in the church.
Yeah, she was called Jezebel.
Yes, yeah. Traveling musician or something. Or
this is Galatia, right? Isn't Galatia part of Asia Minor? Galatia is another name for...
No,
this is
not...
It's not a church.
It could be...
It's not the Galatian church. Galatia is a region
right.
of Asia Minor.
But I think Galatia is more...
And
it's yeah, you're right. It's part of it, but it's yeah, more. It's more over here on the top here.
Whoa! Asia Minor is right there.
Yeah, but I'm saying Galatia's not in this area here.
It's more over here. Turkey doesn't go that far.
Well, let me see. I can't.
It's kind of a funny shaped map you got.
Yeah, I know.
But it goes up. Turkey would go all the way up to that purple part.
Let me see.
So I don't know what you got the colors here. I don't know what these represent. But
wasn't Jezebel the wife?
Should say Galatia.
She took over the.
Galatia to the east.
Shouldn't it?
No.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay.
So but it's more like
part of the Asia Minor.
It's more over here.
Okay, well that's just okay. Fine. We're just looking at the Greek side of the place, probably. Whatever.
So a lot of you guys said that this is an actual literal woman.
Well, I'm seeing here there's the Jezebel obviously from the Old Testament with Ahab, and then
yeah.
this was obviously many, many years later, and it was either in that spirit of Jezebel, or there truly was a lady there in town who played up on the name and did what she could with it.
Yeah, Jezebel in the Old Testament in 1 Kings, she was the wife of Ahab. She you know, led a lot of people astray. God's prophets astray.
The guards threw her off the roof and she off the tower and the dogs ate her.
This Jezebel could have been a movement of a group of people pushing people in the direction of immorality and sexual acts.
So, you know, it don't matter what you guys...
These movements have leaders. I'm just, you know, whatever. I don't...
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, but it does... But what it is communicating to us that there is this... spirit of sexual morality and you know idolatry
like
in
like group sex, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kabbalah.
And in verse 21 says, I, Jesus, gave her time to repent of her sexual morality, and she did not repent.
It sounds like a person to me.
Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. Now here, verse 23 makes you think, this is a literal Jezebel, or this is just, like I said, like a nickname, or it represents a group of people that are doing this type of, it says, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you, I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. But Jesus says, hold fast what you have till I come.
So what was the burden he was putting on them? To stand up to this lady or what?
Right, to stand, to hold fast, to stand up.
Okay.
And if you hold fast, look what he says. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations.
The ones that doesn't follow her and do her thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then he quotes Psalm 2 here. Mm-hmm. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. To me, this is a picture of the millennial kingdom, mm-hmm. when Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. I'm sorry, Pete.
I'm just thinking that this sounds a lot like the tribulation, you know. And so Christ is You're not going to write a new book for the 144,000. This is it.
What sounds like tribulation?
Just what's going on here?
Oh, well, it's not tribulation yet.
No, not yet.
Yeah, it kind of is.
The tribulation.
Revelation was written to finish the Bible, and it's talking about, you know, this is where you get all this stuff from.
The tribulation really starts.
You think this is a history book lesson? Before. This is eschatology, man.
Not yet.
Book of Revelation. Wow.
But I think he's writing to literal churches. I mentioned that in the beginning.
We can agree to disagree.
He's writing to literal churches in Asia Minor here. And again, we could use this application to.
Well, that's what you were doing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're doing. That's what everybody does. It comments on this book of the Bible.
What verse am I on? I forgot.
28.
28. No, I think I didn't read. As I also have received from my Father, and here comes 28, and I will give him the morning star.
This is Christ speaking. You know that.
Yes, sir. That's right. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. I've been saying that. It's Christ speaking.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's Christ talking.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go back and let's dissect what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Again, anybody has a comment or opinion, you're welcome to express. So
it's like Sodom and Gomorrah.
What's that?
It's like Sodom and Gomorrah, all this sexual immorality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's going on now.
Yeah.
Not like it's going to
especially
go on
nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But throughout all history, it began in Genesis with God and his daughters. It's the fall of man.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you go back to chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Revelation
chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, kind of goes together with the description of the Son of God. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, it says that Jesus, his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of what?
Fire.
And that's what it sort of says here in, not sort of, but it does say that. It says his eyes like a flame of fire.
And that's how he's going to return.
That's what it's talking about.
Yeah. Right?
His feet were like what? Fine brass. I'm here, some translations say bronze, right?
Bronze,
right.
Burnished bronze.
That's an alloy, right? How do you make bronze? Copper and tin or what? Or something?
Copper, brass.
In 1:15, it says his feet, Jesus' feet, were like fine brass, as is refined in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. And then go back to verse 18 of chapter 2. It says these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire. Remember, it's I think Brother Bill, you said
purification.
Right. Judgment.
Yes.
His eyes are like flame of fire, representing.
It's important that it's his eyes.
Similarly, he sees it like grass.
Right.
He sees that he's judging by what he sees.
Mm-hmm.
Who's been to Niagara Falls? Any of you?
Well, a long time ago when I was a kid.
What do they tell you about Niagara Falls? You'll hear it before you see it.
Mm.
That's the sound of many waters.
Can you imagine that?
Things vibrate. I was in a hotel and the desk is shaking. I'm going, man. Something.
His eyes like flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. The Son of God, that title, I'm reading out of your notes here.
Okay, where at?
If you go to chapter 1:14, it describes Jesus similarly.
Yeah, that's what I just read.
Mm-hmm.
I said go to verse 14:15, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that phrase, the Son of God, like I wrote in the introduction, the emperors were known, or they were called the Son of God in this area here, in this area of Asia Minor.
That's already bringing false people into the world. They're proclaiming to be the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Those emperors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that phrase, the Son of God, that we see in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, this is the only time it is used in Revelation. This is Revelation's only use of this title. Still, it was a common title for Jesus. We see that in John 20. We also see that in 1 John.
Mm-hmm.
And his feet like fine brass. Jesus also reminds the hearers of this church in Thyatira, of his feet like bronze. Metalworking, like I said in the introduction, was a prominent industry in Thyatira. So by him saying that his feet are like fine brass, they can relate to that. Right? I think I wrote that down. Residents will be familiar with the image of glowing bronze, or like fine brass. Verse 19, I know your works, love, service, faith, your patience, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. It is remarkable that this church was commended for its love. It wasn't like Ephesus, right? Because Ephesus what? Lost what?
Lost first love.
First love, yeah. Right. For the increase in the quality of its works or service, none of the three preceding churches were praised for its love. Mm-hmm. But this church was. But in spite of these most commendable features, the church at Thyatira was guilty of a terrible sin that Christ deals with decisively. Verse 20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Now here's the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. But we know she's not a prophet, right? Mm-hmm. She's not a prophet from God, because she teaches and seduces the Christians, the servants, to commit sexual morality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. So this woman promoted sexual morality and idolatry, right? And yeah. I think it was you, Eric, right, that said that this Jezebel was the wife of Ahab.
Ahab.
Yeah. And what did she do?
Let Israel she usurped astray. The kingdom. Or
what's that?
Influence. Let Israel astray.
Yeah, let Israel astray. Mm-hmm.
She was a pagan queen of Israel.
What was her husband's name?
Ahab.
Ahab.
The stories, if you guys want to write this down, the stories, I think, did I write it down? Yeah, yeah, it's in 2 Kings, and it's also in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 31.
Who's the prophet that stood up to her? Was that the one
Elijah,
that...
Right? Elijah, or
the one that brought down the fire from God? Was that Ahab, the whole thing there?
That was Elijah.
Okay, yeah, was it Elijah that came up against... them was because the wife
put the water
in wanted him dead,
yeah,
and he went and hid in a cave,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
by a creek.
And birds, you know, after God kept him alive for 6 months with ravens and all this other stuff, mm-hmm. I thought it was Jezebel that wanted him dead,
yes,
and he was scared. Oh my God. But anyway, I shouldn't complain. I mean, but anyway, he, yeah,
this woman Jezebel represents an entire category of immoral and idolatrous women.
I think it's an idea what's going on during this time in the future. I'm sorry, but I think it's...
That's fine. Well, what were you going to say, Jen?
And men.
Oh, yeah, men. I'm sorry.
And she was obviously sent by Satan.
Yeah.
To defile the Christians.
Amen.
And to create havoc.
Oh, my gosh.
And to destroy families.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jezebel was not a prophet, but she would sponsor false prophets and try to kill God's true prophets. You wrote it here.
Jezebel. Right. Now, for those who say this is not a literal woman, it's just, you know, I think I wrote down somewhere, it's a nickname for...
It's a metaphor.
Yeah.
It's a nickname, false prophets.
Look what it says, I wrote down in your notes here, where it says, seduce my servants to commit sexual morality. Well, before that, where it says calls herself a prophetess. The early Jezebel was not a prophet, but she sponsored 850 false prophets.
Right.
This is in 1 Kings 18.
Right.
And tried to kill God's true prophets. And that's the story. We see that in 1 Kings 8. I think it's in your notes. 8:13 and 9:22. Yeah. Now, seduce my servants to commit sexual morality. Jezebel is never accused of literal sexual morality. But she sponsored its spiritual equivalent by leading Israel away from
God.
From God. From its God. which is also compares her activity with witchcraft. You see that in Revelation 9:21 mm-hmm. and 18:23. We'll get there, God willing.
Infidelity to God is like infidelity in marriage. We're the bride of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so be faithful to the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stand up for him.
So it is debated whether the sexual morality of Thyatira's Jezebel is literal. There's some verses there that you can look up. I wrote them down there. Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Since the children of verse 23 are undoubtedly not her literal children. Certain literal sexual morality was widespread in the culture, obviously, right? It says it there. Both elements may be present, but even if the image is wholly figurative, mm-hmm. it plays on the moral horror with which Jesus' movement in Judaism viewed literal sexual immorality. So it doesn't matter if you take, if it's a literal view or if you take it, if it's just a, what did you say, Brother Pete, it's a metaphor?
Right. Mm-hmm. I just looked up like or as in mm-hmm. the book of Revelation over 100 times. And a simile uses like or as a metaphor.
Right.
You know, Jesus is like a shepherd. You know, he does looks after us.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a simile, like or as. And then there's just metaphors like, you know, like the sound of running water
right.
is the voice of Jesus. I think this everybody's going to know when he comes back. Everybody's going to hear it.
Yeah.
Everybody in Buffalo knows there's a waterfall not far away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Has anybody ever been at a church where somebody came in and started teaching like false doctrines?
No.
And like the pastor let them do that?
Well, you know, sometimes the pastors know like, that this person's here doing that.
Just an unknown person get up and start talking and he's allowed
to go. Just,
no, but they stir up. And yeah. The
yes.
Yeah. Doesn't go publicly and say, you know, whatever. Yeah. But he's like in there. You know, he comes. He looks like a cool guy or cool girl.
Yeah.
And but he's really like taking people aside and
you're talking to them,
saying that you know things that are contrary to the Word of God. Yeah. Anybody ever experienced that?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't we experience that here not too long ago? In my opinion, we did.
With whom?
I'm not gonna say. He's not here now.
So, you guys experienced that?
I don't know how long you've been coming
here.
Oh,
yeah.
Here,
it's really sad, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to really definitely be compassionate. Like, it's a really fine line, right? As I'm reading this, I'm thinking about how sad would it be. We don't want to turn away
mm-hmm.
prostitutes and
right.
tax accountants or tax collectors and things like that, but... You definitely have to be very discerning, not judgmental,
mm-hmm.
but very discerning that that's not for you, right? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, mentor without letting things like that seep into your own life.
Yeah.
Where I was at, a guy came in for a couple of Sundays. He would kind of talk and yell out things to the pastor and go up and confront him afterwards. And then in one of the services, the pastor... you know, kind of told him in front of everybody, you know, if you want to start your own church, then you go and do it. And if anybody wants to follow him, go ahead. But otherwise, don't come back here anymore, you know, because we're teaching the Bible and we're talking to people. And if you get your own following, you know, kind of knock yourself out, but don't come back here anymore. And
the pastor was giving him...
Yes,
he taught him the right thing.
Mm-hmm. And
ask the people if they want to follow him, go ahead and follow
him. Yeah, go follow him.
Wow.
Yeah. Of course, nobody did, and I never saw the guy come back again after that.
Wow. Free will, right?
And it was actually happened at the high school right over here before the church had gone.
And so people followed him?
No, I didn't see anybody
following him. Oh, okay.
I mean, I wouldn't know. I never said, oh, this would be a fun. Let's go find out if everybody checked.
What I did experience not too long ago
mm-hmm.
was I visited a church pretty much in memory of Andrea's grandmother who had passed away. She served in that church for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I left sick to my stomach. It was what the pastor was saying was just he was just spewing hate,
mm-hmm.
and through his mouth.
So this was actually the pastor doing this, not somebody like
the pastor
in stealth
doing this in a way that I was just like, this is not a good representation of what I think a leader of the word
right.
should be saying
mm-hmm.
and guiding his people.
Mm-hmm. Hatred against whom?
Well, but it was all very pro-Trump, anti anything that wasn't that, but which is whatever. It's more of how he was saying it. Mm-hmm. He was actually making fun of the way people looked, right? Mm-hmm. This such and such person, you know, wears makeup and looks a lot like a clown. And it was just all this, like,
mm-hmm.
again, just not what I would say is a good representation of here's your time to
right.
spread the word with your... you know, your congregation,
mm-hmm.
these are the things that are coming out of your mouth.
And it was all political, Trump stuff?
It was all political and very... It was filled with hate.
Mm-hmm.
I visited a church in the Redlands, and maybe a year ago. I was eating at the pizza, Steve's Pizza on US 1 on the west side.
Yeah.
Got the best pizza.
Yeah.
Right? So I was there, and this family came in. And I heard him pray, because he'd adopted a bunch of kids. He and his wife had bumped.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very multi-ethnic family. And I just said, man, I showed him pictures of my boys, pretty multi-ethnic. And so he said, hey, come to our church. I went to the church. I went up to the pastor afterwards, because it was just a diatribe, a political diatribe. And I said, you know, the Bible says... I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all, A-double-L, that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. What are you doing? You should be praying for this whatever
That's
person
right.
you hate.
That's mm-hmm. right.
You know, but,
That's right.
you know, and the guy just went off on me.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just, this guy, the guy who's invited me, was like embarrassed, you know, because this guy was
This guy went as far as said, you know, I've had people come and talk to me afterwards. I don't care. I don't care what you have to say. This is my congregation. This is the way I do
right,
it.
Right. Well, that's pretty much. He didn't invite me back.
Maybe it was the same pastor. Maybe it was the same pastor.
No, I went one time and I wasn't going back there.
I've
been in two churches.
I truly feel that the Holy Spirit in me.
Mm-hmm.
was sick, and that's why I felt sick. I literally felt like throwing up.
Mm.
I was like, what is going on here? Like,
I
felt so...
A political rally, you know?
He's probably a member of the NAR. National Association of Realtors.
All right, let me throw a monkey wrench into this study here.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you believe that, whatever view you take, if she's literal or not literal, whatever, was this person a believer or a non-believer?
Which person?
Jezebel.
Absolutely a non-believer.
She knew.
She could be a believer, but doesn't want people to follow her.
She hates her.
She was part of this church.
Right.
I'm not saying she's a believer here. But
she's
just
not a follower. She believes and she wants to corrupt people.
We know that Christ gave her time to what?
Repent.
To repent.
She's unwilling.
But she was unwilling.
Yeah.
At times, believers fight sins but cannot stop committing them on their own power. Right?
Sure, yeah.
But Jezebel was unwilling to make any effort.
She didn't want to change.
Yeah, she didn't want to change.
But she's going beyond, like, it's not just her sin, is that she's encouraging
everybody.
And she has a movement going on.
Right, she has a power trip going.
Yeah.
So it's not just like, I'm a sinner. No, like, I'm going to spend my time making sure that everybody else sins with me.
Mm-hmm. What are Christ's instructions? If a person does come into this, let's say, hypothetically, this person comes into this church, what are Christ's instructions here in these verses that we read to do?
Welcome. To the believer?
Huh? Huh?
To the believer?
Well, I'm just saying to the person who's leading people astray. And,
As soon as you hear a false doctrine, to call them out on it.
Confront them.
What does it actually say in the Bible? What does it say? In the verses that we're discussing here.
Talk with them.
What does it say? Look at your Bible.
Revelation 2:20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because thou sufferest, you allow this woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols.
But what is the instruction that Jesus gives us to do when something like that comes?
To
what?
Ban them.
Hold fast. There it is.
What is it?
Ban them.
Hold fast?
Verse 25.
Hold fast on your
verse 25, you believe?
Yes.
Galatians chapter 1.
Hold fast until what?
Until I come.
Until he comes. What does it mean to hold fast?
Keep your faith. Don't let people teach in your church that are teaching.
Oh, keep your faith. This is
garbage.
Yeah, but if it's hold fast,
stand your ground.
Back then, that means she might have gone for a long time because obviously Jesus didn't come back at that time. And even today, when we see.
That's why we can apply that passage today to us.
Absolutely.
So you see that like in certain denominations here in the U.S. that have gone liberal and they have LGBTQ this.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't. And the only, like in one group, it's a bunch of guys from Africa coming here and saying, you guys have gotten away from your original stuff, you know. And on one hand, that's why we see through history that the church either is going great because God's proving something for a time. Otherwise, we're not really told to get the swords and go chop off people's ears and stuff through time. And that's why the Muslims are taking over in Europe and all this kind of stuff. Who do you blame and where do you draw the line?
So if you hold fast,
it only becomes a personal thing.
To these teachings, these things that are contrary to God's word, it says that you will overcome, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And keep my works
until the end.
We see that word works in verse 19. And as for your works, the last are more than the what? The first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can recommend two books.
Yeah.
Letter to the American Church by Eric Metaxas. Same guy that wrote Bonhoeffer.
Oh, yeah, I heard of that book.
Yeah. It's a great book. And then Fault Lines by Bodie Beckham.
I heard of that one, too. That book's about...
The continuing failure of the church in America.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You hold fast, you overcome, keep my works until the end. And if you do that, what's the reward? What's it say?
Authority over the nations.
Power, right, over the nations.
You survive the tribulation if you overcome the evil one and you make it. You're not killed and then you live under the tribulation. Yeah, you rule and reign with Christ.
Right. Where's this? I think I wrote it down here. Oh, here it is. Yeah, and the last page. We're running out of time, so I gotta. The words power over the nations, it's a quote from Psalm 2, right?
Psalm 2:9.
Which prophesies the Messiah's all-powerful role. Link overcoming believers with the earthly rule of Christ in 24 and 6. We see that in 24 and 6. Let me read that real quick. You don't have to go there.
What, Revelation?
Mm-hmm. It's too long. Read it when you get home. Because at the end of verse 4 says they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. They reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The 1,000 years is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ here on earth. It's a literal reign. The millennial kingdom.
That's eschatology.
Only those believers who are overcomers and who persevere in obedience to the end of life, like it says here,
survive the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
They have overcome.
To the end of life, have the promise of being co-heirs with Christ. In other words, ruling with Him, He will share His sovereignty with His partners, us, who have proven their trustworthiness in this life by doing the will of God to the end. And that's what John says here. What does he say?
4:6.
Keep my works until the what? The end.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the end of the church age, myself.
This is the exalted destiny to which all believers should aspire. Verse 28. This one ended here. 5 minutes. And I will give him the morning star. Who's the morning star?
Jesus.
How do we know that?
Look at 22:16.
Are you looking at your notes?
No, I'm looking at it. Look at the Bible. The Bible says so.
Yeah, go to 22:16. I'm not sure if this is really...
In
Revelation, right?
I testify to you these things in the churches.
Mm-hmm.
I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star.
Very good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Venus, right? Not even a star.
Right.
Morning star is Venus.
For the overcoming believer, Christ's presence is the light in the dark and difficult times before the dawn of the sun's coming. Moreover, morning star refers to the faithful believers shared in the glory or splendor of Christ. The intimacy that this overcomer will get to be with the Lord, with Christ, to share in his glory, to share in the splendor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ gives every faithful believer the privilege of being like him in royal splendor to various degrees. See Daniel 12:3. Let's go to Daniel 12:3, and we'll end it with that. One thing I mentioned when we first started these classes in Revelation is that we're going to use Daniel a lot. Daniel, Revelation go together. Daniel
12:3. All righty, 12:3.
Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever
and ever.
And ever. All right. Any questions or anybody want to add something to this study? This is the time to do it.
Speaking of China before, my dad wanted to do some trips as he was getting older.
Yeah.
He volunteered for a missions trip, and they took him to Hong Kong, and he stayed in a hotel. And every day he would get like a secret code with a secret map. He'd go take the train, and he would get a pull cart with 100 Bibles in it, Chinese Bibles, because most Bibles are printed in Hong Kong to go to the West.
Mm-hmm.
They would, out the back door, be printing Chinese Bibles. He would get this thing, he'd get on the train, go wherever it said to go, get off, look for the guy in the green shirt at the corner, meet up with him. They would give him a meal and entertain him and take all the Bibles. And he'd go back, take the train back at the end of the day and do it the next day.
Wow.
He told me he got arrested once or got all the stuff pulled from them once, one morning, but the rest of the time they made it through. All the time.
I wonder how when you get arrested, they're like for
no,
they're
just
religious purposes.
Wrote a ticket because.
But I'm saying, how do you get out of? Does somebody come and bail you out? How does
no,
work?
Well, okay, he wasn't really arrested. He was going through the checkout lines
at
the train station, and they caught him and pulled him to the side and said, "Oh, you can't do this."
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He wasn't really arrested, thrown in jail, and all that.
No, they play. Yeah, I didn't go to jail and stuff.
Gotcha.
Especially since he's foreigner.
All right.
But he had a lot of interesting stories about this. He felt like a spy.
My wife's father